August Fáilte Arash to the Crazy House Prices podcast, the podcast where I go more in depth on the topics and content I produce over on my Instagram at Crazy House Prices. I'm your host, Ciarán McQueen. Today is episode 21, I think, and it's based on a chapter from my book titled How to Buy a Home in Ireland. And in this episode, I will break down exactly what happens after a sale is agreed upon. So from understanding the non-binding nature of sale agreed to navigating through common obstacles like probate and communication breakdowns, I'll tell you everything you need to know to navigate this part of buying your own home. So let's get into it. Hi, I am just going to pause the podcast for a second to talk to you about some sponsors of the Crazy House Prices podcast. This episode is sponsored by Daft.ie. Daft is Ireland's number one property portal. Daft has the most properties available for sale and rent and is the preferred national property website amongst consumers in Ireland. So Daft.ie's core vision is to make buying, selling and renting property better for everyone in Ireland. So Daft's mission is to simplify each step of every property transaction in the Irish market to make buying, selling and renting in Ireland simple. That's why Daft.ie build innovative tools like Offers by Daft, an online real-time offers platform that provides never-before-seen transparency for the Irish consumer when buying a home. Are you looking to buy? Maximize your chances of finding your dream home by visiting Daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Okay, so you found the ideal home, your bid's been accepted, the mortgage is being set up and it's there in black and white. You've got confirmation that the sale has been agreed upon, or maybe, you know, just over the phone. And you might think, right, that's it. But unfortunately, you're not quite there yet. Going sale agreed is just one of the steps in what is a very lengthy and complicated journey towards owning your own home in Ireland. So in this episode, I'm going to outline exactly what sale agreed means and what happens next. But you are nearly there. Right, so what happens next? So does sale agreed mean the deal is done? Unfortunately, sale agreed here basically just means an agreement by the two parties to the purchase or the sale of the home. So think of it like it's just a handshake. It's a non-binding agreement. Nothing is certain until both parties sign the contracts. So buying your home is likely the biggest purchase of your life. So there are some legal and surveying steps still to be done to make sure everything is okay. And until the contracts are signed, the vendor or the buyer can pull out of the agreement at any stage for any reason. So this means being sale agreed can be quite a stressful and sometimes lengthy wait. So there are a number of factors that can delay a sale, and sometimes the process can drag on so long that the buyer or the vendor will withdraw from the agreement and the home might be tied up in probate, say. That's when the home was owned by somebody who's died and it's now being sold. And I've seen probate take anywhere from 14 weeks to 3-4 years. Or there may be a structural problem with the home, which may arise during the survey, forcing you, the buyer, to withdraw. Or house prices may have increased significantly since going sale agreed, and the vendor might want to put the house back on the market to get more money. I've seen this happen far too many times over the last few years. Could get a surprise in the pre-purchase survey, and the home may require more work than was initially expected as well, which results in unexpected expenses. So there is no real way of knowing how long it's going to take. So a common question I'm asked is, can I renegotiate the price? So if something does come up in, say, the survey, you absolutely can, but it's going to depend on the level of works required and some other factors. The vendor is entitled to refuse the lower price and go to the next highest bidder or go back onto the market. I have heard of people getting tens of thousands knocked off the sale agreed price after negotiating, but it just depends on the home and the level of demand for it. Someone else may be willing to pay the same price and absorb the fixing costs themselves. So that one's just going to be up to you. But let's just be positive for a minute and put our positive hats on and assume that everything is fine and the sale will go through, which is more often the case than not. So here's a checklist of what happens next and who is responsible for organizing it. So the solicitor needs to be notified that you've gone sale agreed. That's on you. The booking deposit needs to be paid to the estate agent. That's on you and the solicitor. You need to get a pre-purchase survey. That's on you. You need to agree on what is to be included in the sale. That's between you and the vendor or the estate agent. You need to organize the lender's valuer. That's on you. Mortgage protection, that's on you. Home insurance, that's on you. Submit your final documents to your lender. So that's going to be your most recent pay slips and anything else they may require. That's also on you. Review your surveyor's report and get quotes for fixing it if necessary. Again, on you. Give notice to your existing landlord. So that's on you, obviously. But if you're currently renting, just be careful with this because, as I said, the sale can still fall through at any stage and you don't want to be left without anywhere to live. So just kind of be careful with that one. Then next thing you need to do is transfer of funds to your solicitor. So that's between you and your lender and your solicitor. And then the solicitor completes the final legal checks. That's on the solicitor. The final walkthrough of the home before collecting the keys. That's on you and the estate agent. Please do this. I've heard so many horror stories of people not doing a walkthrough and then realizing the attic was full of rubbish or the shed was full of rubbish or whatever, or even appliances have been removed or expensive appliances removed and replaced with cheap ones. All sorts of mad stuff has happened. Next then, you will transfer the funds to your solicitor. And then the last thing is you collect your keys and you have a glass of champagne. So I'll go through each one in a little bit more detail. So the first thing you need to do is inform your solicitor and you pay your booking deposit. That's usually around about 5 to 10,000 euro, depending on the sale. This is again, refundable if anything goes wrong or if you change your mind. And then the next thing you do is you organize your surveyor. You basically, a standard pre-purchase survey should be fine for most homes. If it's a bit more complex, you may need to get a structural engineer, and that's going to cost around 450 to 700 euro, including VAT, or a snag list if it's a new build. Then you do need to agree on what's going to be included. So as I said, I've seen or heard of mad cases with, I even heard of some vendors removing flooring and even kitchens after going sale agreed. So make sure you get in writing exactly what is included in the sale. So light fittings, furniture, white goods, curtains and carpets and so on. Then you need to organize the valuer. So the bank or the lender will usually give you a list of valuers they use, and you organize that yourself with the valuer and the estate agent. Then you need to get your mortgage protection sorted. You don't have to go with your lender's policy here, despite what they're going to tell you. As I said in the previous episode, recommended mortgage protection company is beatthebank.ie. They sponsor this podcast. They've sponsored the page over the last couple of years. Phenomenal company. They'll give you the best value. They'll give you the best service. And I would always say get your mortgage protection organized early on, way even before going sale agreed. Just have it in place, and then so you can, if you basically you need to have it in place, so you can draw down your mortgage, but do set it up well in advance. You can always delay the policy start date and you only pay when it starts. Then home insurance, make sure you shop around for your home insurance. Do like a comparison site. Again, I spoke about this a bit in the last episode. If you're renovating the home though, and it's going to be vacant, make sure you confirm this with your insurer, as it requires a different type of home insurance. So what we did, basically, we were doing a home renovation. So we just, because the home was habitable, we got standard home insurance policy for drawdown. And then once we started the renovations, I switched it to a policy called home under construction, which allows the home to be vacant and it covers the building, but not the contents. And that was fine. We did that through AIB, I think. And now our home insurance is with Zurich, I believe. But our home was over 100 years old, so that can be tricky as well. So just keep that in mind. You may need to use a broker, figure all that out. Or mine's at Zurich, but when we got it was 99 years old, so it was fine. But since then it's been over 100 years old, and I've checked the terms and conditions, I've checked the thing to make sure that they know it's 100 years old, and it does say it. So I don't know, I'm not an expert on home insurance, to be honest. Then you'll be submitting your final documents to your lender. So they may require your most recent payslips to make sure that basically your employment conditions haven't changed since going sale agreed. They'll also require a copy of the survey, and usually the valuer sends their report directly to the lender. So do not take out any loans or dip into savings or take a new job or anything like that after going sale agreed, because that can scupper the whole thing when you go to submit your final documents. Once you draw down, you can basically do whatever you want, but before then, just hold off.
I'm going to pause the podcast for a second because I want to talk to you about a company called Financial Planning Matters. Their website is fpms.ie. This is a company that I know very well, and the team behind it are fantastic. It's a small Irish company that believes that financial planning should be accessible, easy to understand, and affordable for everyone. That's why they offer personalized financial advice that's tailored to your unique needs and goals. Their team of expert financial planners will look at your current financial situation and develop a personalized strategy to give you a roadmap to achieve your financial goals. It's not just about setting up a pension or investing your money. They'll consider all aspects of your finances to help you get to where you want to be. So that could be saving for your deposit. It could be knowing where to invest your children's allowance. It could be maybe you have loads of money and you want to know what to do with it. So their customer service is incredible. I've been using them for over a year now and I cannot recommend them enough. So check out fpms.ie. Now, back to the podcast.
Then your surveyor's report, these are often really lengthy and detailed, but they can also be quite vague. Just make sure to read it properly. It only looks at what's visible and it's non-invasive. That means they'll often include a lot of possible issues within the home. If there are any major issues, the survey will show these and highlight if they require fixing to allow drawdown. Your lender will let you know anyway, but it can potentially lead to a delay and possibly the sale falling through. So just be careful on that. Then you'll do transfer funds. So once everything goes well and there are no issues, your solicitor will request the funds from the lender and hold the money in their account before transferring it to the vendors. Again, there's no definite timeline for this and it can often take weeks. Then there'll be final checks. So while waiting on the funds, your solicitor will complete their final checks to make sure everything is still okay with the sale. This is also a good time to arrange a date for collecting the keys. Then do your final walkthrough. So I recommend you organize a final walkthrough before funds are transferred to make sure that the home is left as you agreed. As I mentioned earlier, if you negotiated for furniture or other items to be removed, this is your chance to make sure that that job is being done. It's always a good idea to check the attic, check the shed, and if applicable, to make sure that they've been cleared out if this is what was agreed. And then hopefully everything has gone really well and you will be collecting the keys and everything is finally kind of signed off with the last of the forms with your solicitor. That's when you go and collect your keys and enjoy your new home. And let me tell you, it's the best feeling, especially if you've been a few years searching and it's been a nightmare or you've been outbid loads of times. That feeling when you turn the key in the door for the first time is just amazing. So you're probably thinking, right, how long will all of this take? Unfortunately, there's no definite timeline for how long it takes to go from sale agreed to keys in hand. It can take a long time, which is why it's important to have lots of the essentials organized beforehand. So your solicitor, your mortgage protection, your surveyor, and so on. Unfortunately, a lot of this is outside of your control. And no matter how organized you are, some things will just take a long time. It's one of the biggest complaints I see in my inbox is people stressed and frustrated at how slow everything is going. And they feel like they've no idea what's happening, who's responsible for what, and when the things will be finished. Unfortunately, that's just how it is in Ireland. I'm working on trying to fix that. But for the moment, that's just how it is. It can just take ages. Some of the common problems, these are basically some of the most frequent questions and problems that I've encountered over the years. And I wish I had more definite answers for you. But the reality is you're just going to have to be patient and stay on top of things. So a lot of the post-sale agreed process is out of your hands. So why does it take so long? Well, the three main parties involved when you go sale agreed are solicitors, lenders, and estate agents. And in my experience, they will often blame each other for slowing things down. So at the moment, banks seem to be the main culprit due to like a lack of qualified staff to deal with the large number of applications. So since recent banks left, so Ulster Bank and KBC, that resulted in a lot of mortgage switches and applications on top of the usual kind of drawdown volume. And this is kind of just going to slow down because we have a smaller pool of banks. Now we've a couple of new lenders in, we've MoCo and stuff. So, and some lenders will be faster at turning things around than others. So that's where a good broker comes in. So, but anyway, none of this is good news for anyone. It means competition is decreased, which reduces then pressure on lenders to be competitive with their interest rates. And as we've seen recently, interest rates are going up. So, but like, it's not the lender's fault either. You know, they're not properly staffed to handle the large volume of mortgage drawdown applications. So it can just take so long. And then probate is a huge issue. And again, I'm working on this at government level to try and come up with some solutions. But basically, probate is the legal process of verifying a will and appointing an executor to manage a deceased person's assets, pay their debts and taxes, and distribute the remaining assets to the beneficiaries. So it can be required for a property or significant assets, and it can be complex, especially if it's like a big estate or there are disputes among the beneficiaries. So if they left a will, that's basically with the estate, it's called the deceased person's executor, and the executor needs to take out the probate. So the house cannot be sold until the grant of probate is issued. This is a huge problem here, as homes are often advertised for sale before the probate application is even being lodged. And again, there's a lack of staff in the probate office, and they only accept applications from solicitors via post. So I've seen the sale of some estates in probate take years to complete. The average seems to be around about 22 weeks in Dublin anyway, and maybe a bit quicker outside of Dublin, but it just seems to take ages. So there are a lot of issues. The probate office say it's because there are a huge number of errors in the application sent in by solicitors. Solicitors say that the goalposts keep getting moved. So again, it's one of those things where each party involved blames each other. But the reality is, look, it's going to take, if it's in probate, you're going to be looking at probably around 5-6 months at least. And that's if there are no queries or anything on it. So this is important to know when you're looking at homes, or when you're bidding on a home, or if you're going sale agreed or whatever. Very often the estate agent would tell you that probate has been lodged when it hasn't. Again, estate agents will blame the vendor, saying the vendor told them that. The vendor will also will blame the estate agent, saying they did tell them. It's a complete mess. But there is, if you have any kind of details for the probate, there is a website that you can use to check to see if a probate has been granted. It's updated daily, and it's, if you just search probate.courts.ie/probate.nsf. There's something called a caretaker's agreement that you might agree could be a potential solution if there is a case of a delayed probate. This is when the buyer can essentially move in and there is an agreement between both parties. It's something that you could ask about, but definitely seek legal advice on. But yeah, probate is an absolute mess. And then another problem really with the sale agree thing is a lack of communication. It's a very common frustration for buyers. They feel like there's a lack of communication after going sale agreed, and that the solicitors, the agents and the lenders assume that the buyer knows what to do and how things will go. Unfortunately, this is not the case, and the sense of confusion on the buyer's behalf then leads to feelings of frustration and stress. So I think it would be beneficial for all parties involved to be more understanding of each other and communicate better what's going on and where the sale is at each step. But unfortunately, that's just not how things are done in Ireland. I do have suggestions in my book about things that I believe could solve this problem, like things like basic project management software. But look, I think it's understandable for buyers to feel frustrated because of this lack of communication of being there. But the buyer, like you as a buyer, you're only dealing with one sale. Think about it from the estate agents and the solicitors and the lender side. They're likely dealing with multiple sales at the same time. So it just requires kind of patience and persistence. And thankfully, by following me and listening to this podcast or reading my book, you'll be more informed and hopefully less stressed about the whole process. So thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Crazy House Prices podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating or a review, and share it with friends and family who might find it helpful. And remember, this episode is from a chapter in my book called How to Buy a Home in Ireland. For if you would like more exclusive content and a little bit more insights, also direct access to me, please do consider becoming a patron. It's patreon.com/crazyhouseprices. You can get a free 7-day trial. And then if you like what you hear over there, it's only €3 extra per month to continue your membership. And that helps support the page. You get loads of exclusive content. It's a good system. Anyway, until next time, slán go fóill.